Yeah. I mean, can we finish it maybe tomorrow or at another time?
Let's see how long it takes us. How do you choose a wife? So you're dating, and I once told my brother that when I'm dating, I feel schizophrenic. With this girl, I talk a lot. With this girl, I'm more quiet. With this girl, I laugh a lot. With this girl, I'm more morose. I'm starting to wonder, who am I? What's going on? So you should know that it's natural that with different people, different aspects of a person come out. And that's true with every person you'll be with roommates. And a girl, for some reason, it's more so. That girls can affect us, that we behave differently. Now, I feel that one of the formulas for finding a wife is whether a person feels comfortable with himself. Am I myself? And am I comfortable being myself? Being myself doesn't mean I'm okay with the fact that I'm a slob and I'm okay with the fact that I'm 100 negative things or whatever. I still have my aspirations, but I'm not under pressure. I'm not playing any games. I feel comfortable with who I am when I'm with her. I feel comfortable with who she is when we're together. I feel comfortable with the relationship. I feel it's true, and I feel it's comfortable. I have an aunt who told my brother when he was dating, she said, look, women have all kinds of shoes. They have high heels, they have low heels, they have sneakers. Women wear all kinds of shoes. She said, a wife could be one of many shoes. When you're choosing a wife, choose slippers. You want to be comfortable, you want to feel at home. So that's what she told him. I think it's true. You're choosing a wife, choose slippers. You got to be comfortable. Everywhere you go, you have to play a certain game. Sit in front of the rabbi, you behave like this. Sit in front of the parents, behave like that. Sit in front of a class, behave a different way. But I'm playing a game right here. I'm sitting up here, I'm acting like a rabbi. So everyone has to play a game, right? We all have our responsibilities. So everywhere you go, you have to be something else. You come home, you don't want to play any games. I call it a game, but it's not a game. You have a responsibility in your job to do something. You have a responsibility to... Everywhere you go, you have a responsibility. But at home, you should be able to be yourself. Be comfortable being yourself. She should be able to be herself. She should be comfortable being herself. You should be comfortable with your relationship. Again, that doesn't mean we don't have aspirations. We do have aspirations, and we're going to grow. We're all working for to move forward. But we have to feel comfortable.
We have responsibilities in the house, too.
Of course you have responsibilities. The question is, are you comfortable? So it's true. It's not so comfortable to clean a dirty diaper. It's not so comfortable to clean up all kinds of messes. It's true. But that's part of life. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about on a personal level. Am I comfortable with who I am? Does she put me under pressure? Or am I happy? Do I feel comfortable with her? Do I feel like she's being truthful with me? Do we have aspirations that are aligned as far as chinuch for the kids, as far as the level of religiosity that's going to be in the home, as far as our aspirations financially, as far as our outlook on the state of Israel if you're going to live here, as far as our social obligations and our social aspirations, the details, it's less critical that we match on. You can't cover all the details. But in general, what do I put emphasis on? What's important to me? What's important to her? We have to be very, very similar on most issues. There's going to be that small percentage where our differences are going to enrich our lives, where we each complement one another. But in general, on most things, we have to really have the same aspirations, the same goals, and the same outlook.
You should repeat that list one more time that you said?
I said chinuch, how you're going to bring up the home. Level of religiosity in the home, financial aspirations, national aspirations, national outlook, social aspirations. That was a sampling. It's very important that there is mutual respect. Some people feel very comfortable when they knock the girl. And she feels very comfortable, or at least it seems like she feels comfortable that he's knocking her, that the jokes are at her expense, that he throws comments at her, or the other way around, that she throws comments at him. I can't go into the psychology of couples. I don't begin to understand how any couple works. I don't think anyone could really understand how any couple works. Even a person with his own wife, I don't think really understands the intricacies of how their relationship works. It works. But to understand it...
You don't understand the intricacies of their relationship?
It depends on how you define understand. But I don't think a person can understand it. I think a person has a better chance of understanding someone else's relationship than he does his own relationship. Because someone else's relationship, you're standing from outside, so you could at least see many things. When you're talking about your own relationship, so you're looking from within the relationship. For you to really understand the intricacies of the relationship, I don't think it's feasible. I don't think it's feasible to look at someone else's relationship either. But I'm saying in general, it's important to have mutual respect. Some couples need this relationship where one's bashing the other. I don't think that's something someone should aspire to. If they're already married, if it works for them, let's see how long it works for them. Some people enter marriage with the approach, a pious wife is going to do whatever I say. No such thing. Doesn't work that way.
A pious wife is
whatever I say, I'm the rabbi in the house, right? So what I say goes. You can't walk into marriage thinking that. Doesn't work that way. We've discussed many times that in the time of the Gemara it wasn't that way, in the time of the Halacha it wasn't that way. There are Halachas that say that clearly. She's her own human being, and you're your own human being, and together you're going to build a home. And I'm not saying that she runs the home, or that she has an equal say on everything. There are things where she's going to have more of a say. There are things where you're going to have more of a say. And obviously the area of Halacha, you hope to know enough to have more of a say in. You can't expect that what I say goes, even in the area of halacha. Talk to her, and you have to match on things. I had a guy whose wife, he was dating a girl, and there are things they didn't match on. So he said, yeah, but she's a pious girl. When we'll get married, I'll tell her this is the way it goes, and that's the way it'll go. I told him, think again. It doesn't work that way. If you don't match on these points, then you have to decide who's going to give on them. Are they critical points as far as your aspirations? What do I mean? A guy who, he was adamant there wouldn't be a TV at home. And she was adamant that not only there would be a TV at home, but it would be running all the time. She couldn't function in a house where the TV wasn't running all the time. Another guy wanted the kids to go to a school where it was separate, boys and girls, and they'd hardly have secular studies. And she wanted not only they should have secular studies, but that they should have girls in the same class. And they should have girlfriends. And they should have mixed sports. So these are two couples that are married. I'm not telling you about couples that were dating. These are two couples that today are married. This causes serious friction. This is a serious difference between them. There are enough things that after a couple get married, they discover they're different on. Every couple is going to have serious differences. But there are things that, if they're important to you, then discuss them on the date and discover them and see if this matches or not.
Somebody said to me in Canada that you should live with them. I mean, this is...
So we'll address that in 1 second, okay? Let's just cover a few more points and we'll get to that. I think that some of the concluding points of our sessions tonight are that each person has to think, who am I? Where am I really holding? What are my aspirations? What's important for me? What's important for me and my aspirations for the home I want to build? Keep in mind that there are things that everyone could learn. When people come to my parents' home, so my mother always tells the girls always ask, wow, you're such an amazing cook, you made such great food, wow, you got to give me this recipe, that recipe, whenever there are young kalas. So my mother tells them the following story. She tells them that the morning after my parents got married, so my father asked my mother to make a hard-boiled egg, or soft-boiled egg. So my mother took an egg out of the fridge, and she took a pot, and she put the egg in the pot and put the pot on the fire.
No water.
No water. So my father looked and asked, huh? This is after they got married. My mother didn't know how to make one soft-boiled, hard-boiled egg. She didn't know how to do a single thing in the kitchen. Today she's an amazing cook. She gives recipes to all the callers. Why do I tell you this story? Because I think that shows us that sometimes a guy could get very enthralled with a girl because, ooh, she cooks such great food. Like a guy once was offering me to go out with a girl and he said, with her, I can tell you you're going to have excellent food. What do I care? That's something a person could learn. I mean, there's a girl who's less outgoing and so that might be a characteristic. Could be she'll learn. Maybe she's not dressing the way you want. So if her features don't bother you, so you'll go shopping for clothes with her, so she'll dress better. She doesn't yet have experience dealing with banks. She does not deal with the bank or the mail and whatever. So either you'll take care of it, or you'll teach her how to do it. Keep in mind that there are things that a person could learn. What we have to focus on are the traits that are innate, the traits that she's developed, who she is, who am I, where do we match and where we don't match. Don't expect her to learn things that are innate. Don't expect her to change things that are part of her personality. But on these points, don't worry about them. That's not what's important. You're looking for her personality traits. I say in Hebrew, לא מבטלים כי היא לא יודעת לבשל, ולא מתחתנים כי כן יודעת לבשל. You don't break an engagement or break a contact with a girl because she doesn't know how to cook, and you don't make a contact with a girl because she does know how to cook. That doesn't matter. She'll learn, or she won't learn. That's not life. So let's quickly recap, and then we're going to deal with your question. We're going to end off with your question. What do you say? Said before you date, think when's the right time to start dating. We don't date for the fun of it. We date in order to marry a girl. Think about what's important to you. Arrange for yourself your priorities. Think of how much time you've been where you are spiritually. Are you balanced? How long have you been there? Who am I in truth? Think of your good days, your bad days. How many good days do you have? How many bad days do you have? Who are you? Define yourself. Then we discussed how you can try to initiate offers. We said not to disregard any offer. Every offer is worth looking into. We discussed how you look into a girl, how you check her out, how to call her friends, how to try and get more than one vantage point. We said certain things you can't count, you can't rely on what people say that it's going to be accurate. Her looks, how talented she is, how serious she is. These things, listen, take with a grain of salt. We said to compare notes, and we said to take into account that whatever you're going to ask is going to get back to her and might harm her. So be careful what questions you ask and how you ask them. We said that every person should consult with his rabbi what he has to divulge beforehand when he gives a positive answer. We said that even if the girl doesn't seem like she's for you, you should go back to the person who offered it at a derech eretz. Tell them thank you and that you don't think it's for you. We discussed the options of getting offers from Rabbeimir, neighbors, people who know you, people who invite you for Shabbos meals, and we discussed the disadvantages of using the internet. We discussed the first phone conversation. After you've given a positive response, she's given a positive response. What do we discuss on the first phone conversation? And that it doesn't have to be too long, but should have some length, and if it goes, it goes. And not to judge too much based upon the first conversation, we said you should try to agree on a place where you're going to date, and that it should be a place which meets certain criteria. I believe in having a bathroom, a place where you could buy a drink, a place where it's going to be easy to recognize who she is, a place where you won't have a problem with yichud, and I think it's better a place without dogs. It's good to have her cellular number, and she should have yours. By the way, initially at least, in the first few dates, you're supposed to go towards her. I always paid attention to see if the girl comes from Netanya or the Golan or something else, is she going to offer me to come towards me also? But you're the gentleman, so you have to go to her home territory. On the other hand, if you're dating in her home territory, then you're not responsible for finding a place where to date. You tell her, look, I don't know the neighborhood. Tell me, where's a good place to go? Maybe there's a good cafe, maybe there's a nice hotel. Then it's not your responsibility to figure out where to go. On the date, I just want to explain something. If she comes to Yerushalayim every week, there's no mitzvah to schlep out to her home territory. I just meant if she's there and she's not coming here, then you might as well date there, out of respect to her. On the date itself, we stressed the... we discussed the preparations for the date. Skip that. Preparations for the date. Sleep, dressing well, brushing your teeth, shaving, taking a shower, tucking the shirt in, going to the bathroom, making sure your cell phone isn't about to die, having money in your pocket, not exact change, having her phone number and her name with you when you go to the date. We discussed the date, approach her with a smile, start off the date on a good note, not to be late. If you're going to be late, by the way, don't spend the beginning of the date apologizing. Make it a quick and sincere apology, or apologize somewhere within the date. You don't want that to be the focus point. You're not starting the date with the apologies. You started on the left foot because you showed up late. But that's it. Don't sit and lament it for 15 minutes. We stressed listening on the date, not to make it into an interview, not to ask too many questions, but to let the conversation flow. Not to be scared of moments of silence, so the conversation will flow of its own. Either it will or it won't. It's nothing wrong. To be truthful, but not everything is her business. Not to spend the date thinking, is she Mrs. Right? Sometimes guys spend the date thinking, is it, yeah or no? What will I tell her tomorrow? Do we want to continue or not? Don't do that. Enjoy the date. You'll think about the date after the date. During the date, be yourself and be natural. We mentioned that a girl is not a chavrusa, that if you want to learn on a date, then you have to take certain things into account. We said that the length of dates is questionable. It depends who you ask. Buying her a drink, and ideally you should pay, but don't fight over it. And accompanying her back to the bus stop. And we discussed the story of what happens if you don't. Certain things you don't want to happen. So you're responsible to accompany her. By the way, Americans, if she has American parents, they might want to meet you. They might want you to pick her up from the home and bring her back to the home. Just be prepared for that.
You have a car?
So you'll take a bus. Or I went to girls' homes.
What if her parents are in Chutzar?
So what can you do? Speaking on a date.
Do we have to go there?
No.
I don't think they'll expect it. We said that the best way to find out who she is by letting the conversation flow and listening. Listening closely to what she said. We said if you are going to mention topics, then it's always good to mention it with a story and giving legitimacy to both sides, to be truthful on the date, and that the date should be pleasant, make sure not to hurt her feelings, and make sure before the end of the date to set up a time when you're going to call her so she knows when she'll get an answer as the continuation. After the date, we said you should think but not waste all your time thinking about it. Realize that there are going to be misunderstandings and things that you don't understand, so give it time and think maybe you didn't understand her correctly. Don't bug her. Don't call her too many times. I'm talking about that's after you've been dating a lot. In the beginning, of course, you're not going to call her a lot. You're only going to call her to set up the next date. And we said make sure to call her back the next day to establish whether you're continuing or not. Take into account that you don't always understand the person the first time you meet him. More than often, you don't. More often, you don't. So give it time. And it's better to say yes to another date than to say no, and afterwards spend your time thinking, well, maybe that was really right. Maybe I shouldn't have said no. I always like to be confident. I said no, that's it, it's over. If you're going to tell her that you don't think you fit for one another, make sure that the point is we don't match. Not you're not this and this and this, or you're so and so and so, or I'm not enough of this, or I'm not this. No, it's not. We don't match, and make sure that the no is finite. It's over. We don't match. If we do match, if I think it pays to continue, so then do it with confidence and give her confidence. Say yes. Don't waffle. As you continue to date, the dates should turn into fun. You're not coming to give speeches. She's not coming to give speeches. The dates should be fun, and you should enjoy being with one another. That's how it should proceed. Every date is you're meeting her anew. So that's why there are advantages to longer dates, and there are advantages to having the frequency of the dates get greater as the dates proceed. We said not to say every time, well, maybe yeah, and keep going. But on the other hand, if you're not sure, so give it another time. Just don't do it out of fear. Like people sometimes don't want to come to a conclusion. So yeah, another date, yeah, another date. It's nice to have what to do when you're bored at night. It doesn't work that way. You're dating a girl, it's because you think you might marry her. If it's just because you're not giving it the proper time and seriousness to decide, so sit down and decide. There's a limit to how long you could extend it. And remember, if you're already going on a date, then she might be your wife. Go with a positive attitude. How do you choose a wife? We said, I think that the formula is basically, are we comfortable with one another? Do we match in our aspirations? Do we match in the way we view the world? Are we being truthful to one another? Do we match in almost everything? There's going to be those areas where we complement one another or where our differences are going to add the spice to life. There are things that are unimportant. Whether she knows how to cook or not is not something that should come to the consideration, in my opinion. It's very important, in my opinion, that there's mutual respect and to know that in life we're going to build life together and not to expect that what I say goes in the house. We said that people have to think, what do I want out of a home? And we said that it's good to take counsel with other people. Not with everyone, to choose people who you think you'll gain from. Not to disgrace the girl by speaking to everyone about her or speaking about her stum. But to remember that it's worth taking counsel of people, but at bottom line, it's your responsibility what it'll be. We said that don't believe other people. What you see is what you get. What other people say, give it weight, but only to a limited extent. And now we're getting to the last question that was asked. Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked the following question. A guy was dating a girl, and he said, I think she's the right girl, but I'm not 100% sure. So what I want to do is rent 2 hotel rooms. I know I'm not allowed to be alone with a girl in a room, so I'll rent a room for her and a room for me, and we'll spend a week or two where we'll live like a married couple, only at night. We won't be together. So we'll live out of those 2 hotel rooms. She'll cook for me, and we'll do everything in a fashion where there are other people around, so nothing could happen. She won't touch me, I won't touch her. I mean, we're not allowed to touch. We're not yet married. But we'll do everything in a fashion where it's permissible, but we'll live together, and we'll get a taste of whether we match. That was the question. And the guy asked, what was his question? His question was, halachically, is she allowed to cook his meals for him, or is that getting too close? Meaning he knows they're not allowed to touch. He knows they're not allowed to be alone in a room together where other people aren't there. But he didn't know if she's allowed to cook for him. If she's cooking all his meals for him, so is that too close for the 2 to be? I mean, they're not married yet. So Rav Feinstein answered that aspect of the question first, and then he did something which was unusual for him. He went off on a tangent. He said, look, young man, you have to understand that when you date a girl and things seem right, there's no such thing as knowing 100% that she's Mrs. Right. You date and you verify as much as makes sense to verify, which means you verify till you think as much as you're going to be able to find out, you find out. And then, if you reach the conclusion as much as I could know she's Mrs. Right, then you get engaged and marry her with the hope that she is the one that's lawfully, that in heaven is supposed to be your wife. With the hope. That means that person has to know at the end of the day that you're not going to know when you marry her 100%. You might know 98%, you might know 99%, you might think you know 100%. You have to know that there's no such thing as 100%. Statistics have proven that the people who take time and live together, I'm not talking about the fact that it's halachically prohibited, that they're not allowed to do it. But people who didn't care, they said, I can't marry her without having time together. Their success rate is less than the people who do it our way. Statistically, the way the halacha says has proven to last much longer. We have a much higher success rate. And we're saying that you don't know for a fact. But you know what? Even when you do it that way, you don't know for a fact. Look at the divorce rate with all the couples who are taking all this time, spending time together, living like husband and wife, and so to speak, trying it out. Their divorce rate is pretty high. Much higher than the divorce rate by the people who stick to the halacha and do it the right way. So it's true, you don't know, but they don't know any better. There's a logic, and there have been books written on it. You could read the book, The Magic Touch. I don't remember. I was told that she does a good job explaining why, logically, why this way works. But you don't necessarily have to know why. You know the statistics. And even if you didn't know the statistics, we know the halacha, that you can't, that option does not exist. it's not an option. but bottom line, statistics have proven that this way works.
Gilead Mendelsohn.
Oh, very nice. Thank you very much. And I remind you what we said in the beginning. Everything I'm telling you that isn't halacha is the way I see things from the limited experience and the limited scope that I have. Consider it. If it makes sense, then follow it. If it doesn't, discard it. This is what I think. Any questions? Okay.